Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and today we are going to have a guest. I'm very excited to share with you my listeners and people who do great things for others. This is what we'll be talking about today, and these people are true humanitarians in my eyes. So I'm always looking for new guests that do great things in their areas so that perhaps you can volunteer more in your area or come out and do some things throughout the year to help others that really need your help. So today I have with me Mr. Bruce Otto of Home in Chicago, which provides services to seniors in his local area to allow them to stay in their homes. Are you with me, Bruce?
I'm here. Yes, thank you.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm great. Very good. Glad to be here.
Great. We were talking before the show, and you were just telling me a little bit about Home. Perhaps you could share that with your listeners about how you all got started and what your major focus is.
Well, we're actually 30 years old this year. We just celebrated in the middle of celebrating our anniversary. We were started by a husband and wife, Michael and Lilo Salmon, who Michael came from France to start Little Brothers, Friends of the Elderly, which is still going here in Chicago and in other places around the world.
Wow.
And it primarily they provide companionship for older adults. And they as they got involved with older adults, they saw there were a lot of needs, and one of them was particular was finding decent housing, being able to move from where they poor places they were living into better places. And so eventually that led to the spinoff of Home from Little Brothers, and that's kind of how we got started. And we're really, our focus is on working with low-income seniors in the city of Chicago and doing what we can do to help them maintain their independence. And that's really a very important concept, because I think as we all age, we begin to lose some of our independence, and it's very important to seniors that they can maintain as much independence as possible.
Really sounds great. I was wondering how the seniors find you, or do you find them?
Well, actually, they find us. We've been around a long time, so we've got a very good reputation in the city. So a lot of it is just word of mouth between friends. If one of our handymen is out in the neighborhood doing repairs in someone's home, one of their neighbors will call and say, "What's that truck doing there? And what are they doing for you?" Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the whole block knows about what we do. But we also get referrals from the city of Chicago, from other social service agencies, as well. So we don't do any advertising. We don't need to, and we have more people on our waiting list than we can serve at this time.
Well, I'm really sure you do. Do you give is all your services for free, or are there some low cost, maybe income sliding fees attached to some of the services?
We don't have any sliding fee scales. Right now, we have three programs. We have a home upkeep and repair program where we have three handymen who are our employees, and they have our vans that are equipped with tools and supplies, and they provide upkeep and repair services for low-income seniors. So that's a lot of plumbing work, electrical, repairing furnaces, mm-hmm. Mostly emergency-type things. And we ask the seniors to cover the cost of the materials, and we mm-hmm. provide the labor free of charge. And we then also have a shopping bus, which is a handicap-accessible bus, and we serve 37 buildings that are scattered all over the city of Chicago. They're all low-income, affordable seniors buildings. A lot of them are in what are called food deserts, which are very large geographic areas where there are no major grocery stores. And so we normally go to those buildings twice a month, pick up the seniors, take them to the local good grocery store of their choice so they can get, you know, decent groceries, get their prescriptions mm-hmm. refilled, that sort of thing. And so those, some of the buildings make a contribution to us for the use of the bus. A number of them are free. The buildings don't contribute anything, but the seniors themselves who ride there, it's free to them. And then we have three apartment buildings, and the seniors pay rent there. There's different levels of some of them. It's kind of just a low rent. Some of the apartments, the seniors pay a third of their income, and that those are people who can live independently. And then we have one building and one floor in one of our other buildings that is what we call shared living. And what that is the seniors have their own bedrooms. They normally share a bath, and they share the common areas together. And they also, we have meals for them, 2 meals a day, 7 days a week that are prepared for them. We have college-age young people who live in the building as resident assistants. They can help the seniors with housekeeping, laundry, accompany them to a doctor's appointment, take them, you know, shopping, that sort of thing. And those seniors pay 80% of their income because they're getting a lot more than just a place to live.
Sounds wonderful. You know, those are things that you don't always see in most areas. You know, I can see I have a relatives and they live up in the Northeast, and they're pretty much were in their house by themselves, and nobody ever came around to get them or anything. And they weren't in a food desert. They just couldn't get the half a mile down the road to the grocery store. So really there was nobody around to help them at all. And, you know, when family members move away, no one really is going to care for that, you know, to go out and see who's your neighbor or who's around you that might need help. I know after Katrina here, Hurricane Katrina, we found that before it, you didn't care two squats about who was living next to you, the majority of the people were thinking. And what happened after it, before the next storm came, which was Hurricane Ike, people did start to look around and see who was next to you and put them on the bus to leave. You know, but then that's a whole other show and a whole other story, what happened to them when they put them on the bus. But, you know, taking care of each other, you know, around you, I just, it seems such a foreign concept to a whole lot of people. You know, they get in their car that's in their garage and they just go to work and they come home, put the car in the garage and enter that way and don't even know who lives on their street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's often the case. I mean, I have to kind of brag a little bit on the city of Chicago right now. We know several years ago we had a horrible heat wave, and we had a lot of people who died because of the heat, and seniors in particular. And the city has really developed a pretty elaborate network of ways to communicate with seniors and at-risk seniors in weather emergencies like this. And, I mean, just in the last few weeks, our aging networks have contacted almost 600 seniors. They've made almost 6,000 telephone calls to check in with seniors to make sure they're okay. There are cooling centers that are set up. The city will provide transportation to these centers so the seniors can get cooled down. And so, I mean, I'm very proud of our city. I think we've done a marvelous job of being able to help people in this heat emergency. So, yeah, it's a good story for government and what they can do, and working along with organizations like ours that, you know, can help in our way, too.
Sounds great that they're able to actually have a process or a plan in place. That just makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I mean, we learned the hard way, but it's working, and we've got some really dedicated people who are leading this effort. And, yeah, I'm very proud of the city. I think we're certainly there are people who probably fall through the safety net, but overall I think we're doing a good job here.
Sounds great. My question I had, too, was about when – I know there's so many vacant homes and, you know, lately since the economy, and there's a lot of them that get torn down in areas. I'm not sure if you have that there. But is there – do they ever have a program in place where you can go to those homes that might be torn down by, like, the city or whatever, and you can get items from those homes donated to you to be able – you know, then you'll have items to be able to use when people can't afford, let's say, a light fixture or a new lock and key for the door or –
mm-hmm.
You know, things like that. Have you ever had that happen?
No, we really haven't. I mean, there certainly are a lot of abandoned homes
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are other nonprofits that help protect those homes, make sure that they're secure so people don't get in and break things and steal mm-hmm. pipes and the sort of thing you're talking about having donated. But it's not something that we're involved in, and I don't know that there are things being taken out of buildings that can be reused by programs like ours. I think they're taken out and probably sold for money to somebody.
Yeah, I think, yeah, because everybody's, you know, into this, let's go get see how much copper we can get, you know, and rip all the houses
exactly.
apart.
Right, right.
Do you accept donations that of things like that, like light fixtures or, you know, keys and you know, handles and stuff, or you know, master lock and key sets or tools? Do you accept any of those donations?
Not normally. We don't have any place to store that sort of thing. It was interesting. We got an email this week, though, from a local locksmith who had mm-hmm. seen us on The Secret Millionaire,
mm-hmm.
and he had some unused new lock sets that he was interested
right.
in donating to us because he noticed that that's one of the things we do for seniors. So in that case, yeah, we're working out. He's going to donate those locks, and it's something that's easy to, you know, keep in our truck. We don't have to store our inventory.
Right.
And that gets very, very expensive. So normally we don't take that. But there are instances when there are specific things that we need. We are very happy to take those donations, like smoke detectors, carbon dioxide detectors, that sort of thing, yeah.
I noticed on your website you had a list of things for donation. Do you update that regularly, or are there other things that people can maybe send you an email that they may have and you could see if you could or could not use it?
Sure. The answer is yes, we do keep that list pretty updated. And yes, if people have things, they could certainly send us an email. We don't take donations of furniture normally. We don't have any way to pick that up. Most people can't deliver it, and we really don't have a place where we can, you know, distribute furniture. But sometimes
right.
there are specific things we can use in our apartment buildings, or if there are specific things that seniors whose homes we're working in are looking for things, we can make a match sometimes.
Great. Yeah, I know, because sometimes some of our listeners will call me and say, you know, I really have this, and I'd like to get it there. And there have been instances where people have delivered things door to door. If, you know, if the need was there, that's why we were opening up that gate.
Right.
If you would be accepting of that.
Well, we also refer people to, there are agencies that, Ben Donated, who was featured on Secret Millionaire,
right.
they take donations. There are other agencies that take donations of furniture and things like that, and we're happy to make referrals and try to get people connected up so that they can donate things that will be used.
Right. Share the wealth. You know, put down what you have and see who needs it.
Right.
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 How have the seniors been accepting of having people coming into their homes? I know sometimes they really don't want to let anyone in, or they may believe that they may not be living in a safe environment. How does your agency handle that? Let's say if somebody goes in and, you know, on a referral from a neighbor that says maybe they don't have electricity or they don't have lights or something, and you go in and then you maybe learn that they're not living very safely. How does your agency handle that, or do you get involved in that at all?
I think you're asking maybe two things.
Right.
Let me try to. First of all, how people react to our employees coming into their home
mm-hmm.
to do repairs kind of varies. I mean, oftentimes this, if we've never worked with that homeowner before, they might be very cautious. They
yeah.
might, you know, stay in the room where the handyman is working to make sure that everything is gone.
Right.
But then if we've gone back, I mean, there's stories of where the handyman was working away, and he needed a light bulb, and the senior didn't have a light bulb, so the senior said, okay, I'm just going to leave you here and go down the street to the hardware store and buy a light bulb. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, they've learned, they trust the handyman, and so it kind of, it depends. Newer people, of course, are going to be cautious because a lot of seniors
right.
have been ripped off by contractors who haven't done work properly, and, you know, they've gotten into more problems, so... So that's kind of the question of how people relate to our employees come in. If our handymen go into homes and see very, very bad situations, we are required to report that to the city of Chicago, and we have very good relationships with the city, and you know, we're ultimately concerned about the safety and well-being of the people whose homes we go into, and so we do what we can to help that.
You know, because so many people tend to just, seniors, they will just sit there and not even know how to get themselves from A to B, or not even how to ask for help, and their life just, quality of life just goes through the, you know, through the floor. So that's a good thing that they would actually go in there and possibly not even looking for it, but if they see it, assess it and know what they needed to do something about it. Can you tell us probably, Bruce, how would somebody, if you're in a different city in a different area, and let's say I have relatives right now that are in West Palm Beach. Great, everybody thinks they have money. But you know, when all those people lost their money, they're living in places that are unsafe now, and no one's really taking care of those elderly people. I guess maybe if you could share with our listeners some suggestions on how you might start to get a group together similar to yours, or do you go to the government? Do you get grants, or what do you do? How do you start that? Oops. We lost. Oh, he's back on. Hold on 1 second.
We got disconnected.
Okay. Did you happen to hear the question?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So I have relatives in West Palm Beach. My son lives there. And, you know, since the economy, granted everybody thinks everybody in West Palm Beach has money, but when the economy dropped out, a lot of those people, elderly people, lost all of their money. So they are like holed up in small areas in their homes, and no one's really taking care of them, and no one's really looking in on them. So I was wondering if you could share with our listeners how someone might start a group similar to yours. Like, what do you do first? Did you go to the city? Do you go to the state? Do you get some grants? Or how do you start? How do you reach out? And when you reach out, it come across as we're going to start helping people to do that. So we're going to start forming this group.
Well, I mean, I think I would encourage people to talk to the city, to see to their local officials, to see, first of all, what kinds of things the city is already doing, to find out about other social service agencies who may be doing the things that you might be interested in doing. I think a lot of times there are organizations that are doing really good things, but they're just not known about. They're not they're not well known in the community. So, you know, and starting a new organization is not an easy thing. I mean, it's very easy to organize and become a nonprofit, and I think a lot of people think, well, we become a nonprofit and we'll write some proposals to foundations, and you know, the money is just going to roll in. But you know, foundations only give 14% of the charitable giving in the United States, and corporations give 5%. So most of the charitable dollars that's given in the United States is given by individuals. And so, you know, you can't run an organization on what you're going to get from foundations, and certainly not what you're going to get from government, especially in this economic climate. I mean, in Illinois, we've had nonprofits that have gone out of business because they're so far behind in being paid by the state for the services they provided. So I think if there's a way to plug into existing organizations that have a history, that have a donor base, that have a reputation, that's far better than trying to start something new from scratch, unless people have ties to a private foundation that's going to fund them for, you know, the next 30 years. Otherwise, it's extremely difficult. I mean, I hate to be discouraging, but that's kind of the reality of.
No, I don't think it's discouraging. But what I also found, too, is that in some areas, like when I went to visit there. A lot of the agencies that had been in place had those issues that you just said. They got closed down because they were set up in that paradigm that they were going to get money from certain places, and it didn't happen. So really, the structure of support that the state or the city or the local area had in place before is now gone. So now it's really hit or miss. So there really aren't those basic services even being covered, you know?
Yeah, it's true. There was a lot of things, services that have disappeared, and it's very unfortunate, but it's kind of the reality of what the economy is like these days.
Mm-hmm. I think, I had someone even say to me, you know what, I'm just going to get a truck and I'm just going to drive around with it on the side that says, I help, you know, and see what happens. And I guess maybe grassroots starting is just about the only way you can go.
Well, yeah, that's kind of how we started. And I think that's how a lot of nonprofits get started, with someone who has a vision and sees a need and wants to respond to that need and get some of their friends or family to help them and support them. And it kind of grows from that start over time to something larger and maybe more organized and bigger and more sophisticated over a long period of time.
Right. Yeah, if you're not in it for the long haul, then you're not in it. Because if you're only in it for the summer, you know, or until I get a job or whatever, that might not be the best place for you to be.
Well, right. Plus, if you're and creating a reputation and providing a service that's going to disappear in a year or two, that makes it very difficult
right.
for people that you were serving, because who's going to help them when you've decided to move on?
Yeah, if you want to be the neighborhood grocery store, make your name known, but don't leave. Yeah. Well, I was wondering if you could share with everyone some ways that they could help your project, and also if you can give us your website and any other ways to contact you.
Sure. Our website is www.homeseniors.org. So it's homeseniorsplural.org. And so there's a lot of information there about who we are, what our programs are. People can sign up to be on our mailing list or email list, get ongoing information for us. There's lots of ways to get involved. I mean, part of it is just finding out about us and what areas might be of interest to new people as a volunteer. We have a lot of volunteer opportunities, ongoing sort of things in our apartment buildings. We have guest chefs who come in on the weekend and cook meals for the seniors, 10 or 12 seniors at a time. There are other projects that go on there. In the fall and winter, we do weatherization in the homes of seniors. So we put a clear plastic up over the windows of seniors that keeps out the drafts. We did 75 homes for seniors last winter. In the summer, we do painting projects, inside painting in seniors' homes. Did about 35 homes last summer, and the more groups we have, the more we can do for seniors. I guess, probably like all nonprofits, our biggest need is just sustainable funding, and we would love to be able to have 100 people who would agree to or sign up to give us $25 or $50 a month. That would be a huge help for us. We've got over 200 people on our waiting list for our upkeep and home repair program. Our shopping bus schedule is pretty full. We just don't have the funding to meet the ongoing needs that we had. If we had more funds, we could hire another handyman, or we could purchase another building. We could buy another bus. All of those things would be needed, but it really is the sustainable funding that's so important to us.
And again, your website?
www.homeseniors, that's one word, and it's seniorsplural.org.
Great. And so to any of our listeners, if you'd like, if you could please go to the website, maybe if you're working in an office and there's about 10 or 20 people in there, you know, at the end of the month, whatever change you got in your pocket or whatever $1 bills you have, you could put it all together in an envelope and send it out. Maybe if you did it every month, you'd eventually see that you are making a difference. So if there's anybody that would like to make donations, please go to the website and check out their links there. And I'd like to thank you today, Bruce, for being on our show. It's a pleasure speaking with you, and hopefully we'll get you some donations and some more volunteers.
That'd be lovely. And also we have a Facebook page, which is just H period, O period, M period, E period. That's another way to get information about us, and we'd love to have people check us out there.
Very good. Thank you so much for being with us today. So if everybody could please check that out, and we will be back again next week with another guest. And my website is www.theroseproject.com. That is one of my websites where we will have the listing for Bruce. If you missed it today, you'll be able to find it on my website. Again, that's theroseproject.com. It'll be under the tab, People Doing Good. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please also email me directly through that website. And if there's anything else you would like to share or have our guests speak about, please also give us a call there, and we will be able to find ways to bring more information about more groups that are doing good. If you would like to send me an email, my email is on the Contact Us page of theroseproject.com. And for the home project, that would be at homeseniors.org, correct?
Correct.
And they will be able to go to their Contact Us pages, and they'll be able to send an email directly to Bruce. And let's see how we can work from there. Thank you so much for being with me today, Bruce.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. All the best.
Thank you. See you all next week, and hopefully we'll be able to start having some people connected. And as we connect, we will be able to start bringing some more help to people who don't really know that there is help available. I know in my local area, people walk down the street and you will say, well, why didn't you get a help getting a car? And they're like, I never knew that. You know, or why did you not know that the grocery store could deliver to you? So let's just start helping each other and make sure we check on everybody around us. Thank you for being with us today.